10 greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Kind of a privilege to be here and worship with you all. Enjoyed the Sunday school class. You know, each generation has to work on staying true to God. And I had a man tell me that he said, if your children are changing, if your children are losing out on where you are, he said, they're probably where you really want to be, but you're not willing to go. Just think about that a little bit. We probably would have in our heart some sympathy to where they are. And people, the next generation will pick up really quickly where our heart really is. So let's keep our heart clean with God and respect God. And I want to talk about respect this morning. Preached this some time ago in our congregation. And I want to tell you the same thing I told them. I'm not doing this because I have a burden that there's a lack of respect here or that there was a lack of respect at home. But I think respect in the world, even the political discourse has become very harsh. And as we are exposed to that, then we have a choice to make. Are we going to let that affect us? And we don't have to look far to see disrespectful children and young people in the world. And none of us wants our children to be disrespectful, because as a child, and it's something that respect doesn't come naturally to any of us, including our children. So when you see respectful children, then there's parents who care and parents who are working and will have to work. So for me as a father, where does respect start with me? And I would like to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so there's a lot in this little passage that I want to talk about. I won't spend a lot of time here, but there's more here than I'm going to be able to talk about this morning. It says, number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So respect is a synonym of love, respect is love. What God told his people here was, I want you to love me with all your heart. And if you love God with all your heart, then you are going to respect what he has for us. So he gives us some, in verse 4, he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And in their culture, which was what influenced them, the Canaanites influenced them later on. We read about that we studied about that in the Sunday school lesson, that the Canaanite culture influenced them. It took them away. Pretty soon they were serving the gods that the Canaanites served. Even Solomon, because as we go down and there was King Saul, King David, King Solomon. At the end of his life, he had an altar to Molech, who was the god of the Canaanites, who was the god of child sacrifice. And so if we can learn from this lesson that God, what God wanted is that If you don't respect God, you're going to go a lot farther than you think you will, because they were serving the gods that the people had served who they drove out. And God told them to kill their enemies in that time. One of the reasons he gave for killing those enemies was it was of child sacrifice. And here in that much time later, Solomon at the end of his life had an altar to God, to Molech. All right. So that gives us a picture of what our culture will do to us if we lose our respect for God. So today, we don't have a bunch of our neighbors serving graven images. So does that leave us off the hook with our surrounding culture? No, it doesn't. It may be more subtle today. We have, I'm a deacon. I went to an Anabaptist financial meeting recently, and they gave us, in the studies that day, they gave us how much charitable contribution American people give, like through our culture. And there's never been a time where Americans had more disposable income. You talk about inflation, you talk about all that stuff. There's still disposable income out there for what we want to do. And if you don't go to the Bass Pros, the off-road vehicle places, go to the boating places, and there is a path forward. If you want to buy something really nice to have fun with, they have a plan for you. And so pleasure, I think that is the American idol. I think God looks at that seriously. I believe he does. Is it wrong to have a four-wheeler? No, I'm not going there. But it is wrong to cut out our charitable contributions to be able to have more fun. And so we can't just say that, yes, you know, you have a graven image sitting there in your house. I think what we have to look at is we have the graven image in our heart. And that is something that's between us and God. You know, we can have questions, but that is something that's between us and God. So if we are, it's easy for me to stand up here and say that what I have is God's. And y'all don't know me, how I live. And it's easy for me to say that. It is harder to put it in practice. So if we're gonna say that, let's be honest with it. So I think we were sitting there, it was a diverse group, anything from Amish to Old Order Mennonite to Horning, Pilgrim, and they told us to take a guess at what people gave. And this was including very well-to-do people on down through. And it was, I think it was 2.5%. And that's a shame. And that was the charity drives, United Way, just whatever that met the IRS criteria. So there's things here that we need to think about, even though verse 4, the message is good, the culture is different. Verse 5, he says, thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them, for I The Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I have, over the years, I have struggled with this verse, and I've tried to understand this verse. And we were at a, I was in a meeting. There's a couple of our bishop brethren were there, and someone brought up about what they call generational sins, where because of the situation when they were in, they were blaming that. And Brother Steve Eversall spoke up. He said, wait a minute, I'm not on that page. And he made himself very clear. And he told us some things that day. And so what he says is, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He expounds on that in verse 5. In verse 4, verse 5, he says again, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. So you can read this verse and you can say, if I don't respect God, if I go into rebellion, then my children are doomed. My grandchildren are doomed. But that's not what God was saying. But I want to step back and go one other thing. Most of us today here, it's not necessary, but it is a blessing, came from homes that love God. And in any group of people, there is probably been some people who turned their back on God and walked the other way. And that's sad. It's heartbreaking. I believe what God was saying here, and I'll be glad for you to challenge me afterwards, is that when you rebel and you start to go away from God, most of your descendants will go that way. They don't need to. It's a verse in Deuteronomy 24. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16 says, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And so that, if we're going to say that ancestral sins will doom my family, then we're going to say that what God is saying there in Deuteronomy is wrong. And it's not. They work hand in hand. But he is saying, think about where you are, because it's serious. It's going to affect a lot of people. There's another verse in Ezekiel 18 that backs that up. So, especially to us fathers, let's respect God. Let's let Him work in our life. Let's give Him the honor and glory that's due His name. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31, I want to read 31 through the end of the chapter. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Then the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What I want to get out of this is it is a lifestyle. The people who were serving God, the people who were dedicated to him, and the people who had a long list of things that they did right, didn't recognize what they were doing because it was just a way of life. It was just serving God. And the people who felt like God's judgment was harsh on them said they didn't have an opportunity. So I have a friend in the community. He says, treat your children right. Don't be selfish because they're the people who are going to look after you in your old age. So serve God, do good as you have opportunity, and your children will take care of you in your old age. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 4. Verse 28, I'd like to just think a little bit of the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 28, and I'm, because of time constraints, I'm going to break in here. He had been warned that because of his pride, God was going to deal with him. Verse 28 says, All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house? I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. And when the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as the oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reasoning returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And now I, King Nebuchadnezzar, extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. It's an interesting story. Just thinking how God took him from the strongest king that I think the world has ever known. He controlled more people. If you lived, it was because he said you didn't die. And, you know, it went to his head. And as his senses came back to him, he just knew who God was. And he didn't resent that. He says in verse 37, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. And so God is worthy of all our honor. I'd like to talk a little bit about our brethren, the people around us we work with. Let's turn to Matthew 7. There can be two ditches here. There can be the ditch where we try to control our brothers and sisters and just always have our thumb on somebody. And then there can be the ditch where we can see where they were in Judges, where everybody does that's right in his own eyes. And neither one will get us anywhere. Both will get us in trouble. And so Jesus' words here, he says in verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? So the mote, we're thinking maybe a piece of sawdust and a beam, you know, a piece of wood, a longer piece of wood in your eye. So he's saying, let me get the little thing out of your eye, and we have something big in our eye. Jesus says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, when we go to approach someone, you know, whether it's a brother or sister in the church, whether it's a neighbor, you know, it doesn't do any good to talk to our neighbors about what the Lord has done for us when that neighbor knows that, you know, I have a temper that gets the best of me, or that I just can't stand to be beat in a business deal, or that I'm a selfish person. It doesn't do any good to talk about what God has done for us when that is in my life. And so, if I make sure that all those things are out of my life and that I'm living the way God wants me to live, then when I go to approach that person, all of me is left behind. If I'm witnessing, I can be an effective ambassador. I'll be able to say that, you know what, God has saved me from a lot of things, and I would like to see you experience that too, rather than coming in here and saying that, you know, God is going to judge you, and he will. God demands holiness from his servants. But let's tell them also that God loves you. He loved you enough that he sent the best blood that the world had. And I needed that blood. That blood's what saved me. And that I'm still human. And I have things I have to go back and say, I'm sorry I did that. I responded wrong. And when we can let that go into our hearts and minds, then we can respectfully share concerns. I think of David's respect to Saul when he was in the cave. You know, they were trapped there in the cave. If Saul would have known they were in the cave, I think Saul would have worked a campaign to have them come out of the cave as dead men. That's what David was up against. But when David cut Saul's clothes, he even felt bad about that. There's a story of mockery in the Bible that I want to tell for the children. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. verse 23. So, for you children, it's wrong to make fun of someone. So, if someone's different, or maybe they're handicapped, whatever it is, for us to laugh at that or make fun of that, that's something that you shouldn't do. And I feel confident that your parents will address if they know you did it. And that's how I was raised. And I'm thankful for that. So in 2 Kings 2, 23, this is talking about Elisha. And he went up thence unto Bethel. As he was going up that way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou baldhead, go up, thou baldhead. And Elijah, he had been with him, and he was taken in a chariot of fire, and they knew the story. So they were telling him to go up like Elijah did, and they were also mocking his bald head. And then it says, And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came two she-bears out of the woods and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence unto Mount Carmel. So it doesn't say that anybody was killed. It says they were torn. They may have been. It doesn't say they were. And it says 40 and two of them. So it was a big group of people. And so if you're with a big group, there's always, you're even going to face this when you grow up. When you're with a big group of people, it's harder to say the right thing or to do the right thing. And so work on that now so it'll be easier for you when you're 53, you're my age, and you'll need to work on that through life. But they didn't respect the prophet, and they paid for it. Somewhere along the line, they didn't just learn that on their own. So there was a problem with parents. It was interesting what I come up with. I think these were individuals who were, these children probably were ages 12 and down, maybe 13, but probably 12 or 13 and down. So God shows that he looks at respect seriously, even in children. And there's going to be times when, you know, if you're with your parents or you're with your mom and you're at the grocery store and there's an older person needs a door opened, I'm sure your parents are going to be really good if you just step up and open that door. Sometimes older people like to talk to children, especially well-behaved children in public places. Respond to that kindly and clearly. It's also very good for young children when, for all of us to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. It's not as much of that that happens. I think probably it's not as much of that even in our churches as it used to be. Let's work on that, on the parents and the children. Respect. When you're respectful, you stand out. And that is an opening. And the reason we're respectful is because we're an ambassador. Sometimes, and this is an age-old problem, sometimes, and this is going back to adults, we say things to those closest to us that we shouldn't say. Let's turn to Acts chapter 23. Verses 1 through 5. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. So Paul was addressing a group of contemporaries. In an earlier part of life, he was either part of this council or he would have been part of this council. He says, I have lived in good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. What Paul said was true. Then they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. He quickly addressed it. When we have an episode, let's quickly address it. Years ago, a man shared with me, he said something he shouldn't have said to one of the neighbors. And he said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. The neighbor said, as I recall it, the neighbor said, I expected you were going to say that. Yeah, I expected you were going to apologize. So let's be the kind of person that when we step out of the box that God has put, let's don't say a box. When we step out of the behavior that a disciple of Jesus uses, let's apologize. Let's step back in place. Let's kneel in prayer.